I give anyone that I meet, sure. I give nicknames.
Yeah, why not?
I don't have a nickname for you.
Yeah. Because why, though?
I don't know. I should give you
all
a
right,
nickname.
All right, we'll figure one out for me. Okay, so.
Business boy.
Business boy. Okay. All right. So, okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Not Boring Business Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Redman, founder of Air 5. This is not suits and handshakes business. This is not boring business. Yep. I have an amazing guest. Jess, please introduce yourself. Tell us a little background on yourself. What kind of like how I was so enthused to meet you. Let it shine.
Thank you so much for the wonderful introduction.
You're great.
You're great. So my name is Jess Lepowski, Jessica Lepowski, and I am originally from the Detroit area. Spent 6 years overseas and am now living in Los Angeles. I'm very excited to be here with you, Jeremy, and it's funny how the world works because we met through a Michigan State connection.
Yes.
And I cannot...
Jennifer, right?
Yes, Jennifer. Orlando. Yep. Hey, Jen.
Hey, Jen.
So thank you for that introduction. I think it's beautiful when you meet people that share common interests and you just hit it off, and that's how I felt about you.
Oh, my God. That's how I felt about you as well. So, like, what was the reason why she introduced you to me?
So I was looking...
Because there's a little story behind that.
Yeah. So I was looking for my next adventure. To give you some background, I moved to Amsterdam in 2011. I had always wanted to move overseas from the age of 10 or 11.
Oh, wow.
And I said to my mom, I want to move overseas.
Yeah. She,
like all mothers, they're like, okay,
right.
Sure. And then year after year, I kept saying the same thing. But in college, I never had the chance to study abroad. Being in the journalism program, there's a big emphasis on internships, being at the newspaper, writing, and I never had that chance. So when I graduated, I worked for a company in Detroit, and we had a lot of international interns, bachelor's and master's candidates.
Oh, cool.
And I would show them around Detroit. We were really good friends, and I said, they're living their dream. Why can't I?
Yeah, what the hell? Oh, my God. See,
so,
okay, go, sorry.
Yeah, no. You can interrupt at any time.
When you tell me about dreams, that's when I get excited.
Yes, me too.
Like, people following their dreams, there's no other high in life for me. Like, I call myself like a dream hacker, like a goal hacker.
Yep.
And I just love, so yep. When people actually do it, so go into the rest.
Yeah. So I started applying for jobs. I was between Amsterdam and London. And because I thought they're the most English speaking, I had a family friend who was Dutch, is Dutch. He's still alive. And told me about how well they speak English. And I had been there in May 2010 to Amsterdam. And I ended up landing a job in Amsterdam. At the time, I had also met a Dutch man. And we started dating, and I did not move for him. But it just happened to be an added bonus.
Sure.
And worked for a company for 2 years over there, but I really missed the writing aspect. So I started writing for USA Today.
Okay.
About Amsterdam. And through that, I would try a lot of different restaurants. I loved exploring and discovering new places. And one day I was sitting at a Mexican restaurant. Across the street, there was a Caribbean restaurant. And I thought, who owns this place? Where are they from? Are they from the Caribbean? Do they love the Caribbean? What's the story?
Yeah.
And you look down the street and you see French, Thai, Italian, Ethiopian, anything you can imagine. And Amsterdam is actually home to 180 nationalities from around the world. So this,
didn't know that.
This started to prompt a whole new idea. Another dream of mine from a young age was to write a book. And I thought about, okay, there's a story here.
Yeah.
We always hear about the food, the quality of the food, the atmosphere, but we never hear about the people behind it, the ones that actually created the concept and how they started it, their passions, their dreams.
Sure.
So I did some research, and that one thing led to another.
So was it the dream of writing a book or versus like, oh, I just found this story. So it wasn't necessarily the content in the book that was always the dream, or was it just, I need to write a book. I need to publish a book.
I like to believe that everything in our life leads us down a different path. So
yes. Yow. High five. I'm absolutely with you. Like, I believe in the universe. Number one, like, will pull you in different directions, right? Like, I think I want to write a book that's, I have this book idea for, like, running a business exactly like you would run a lemonade stand. Like, yeah. Simple. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, like, who knows if that will be the book or that will not be the book.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's all about, I do want to write that book. Yeah. So, I mean, like, you are pulled in different directions based upon, like, your decisions.
Yeah. But the two things that always remain steady in my life, one, wanting to make a difference, and two, telling stories. So this seemed like a really natural transition, and always wanting to move overseas and write a book.
Yeah.
And through those two, you can make a difference and tell stories. Absolutely. And this book blended everything. So I interviewed 62 people from around the world.
Oh, wow.
Focusing on who they are, where they come from, and how they ended up in Amsterdam with restaurants.
Okay.
But yeah, it's so it's
it wait, was, did you physically go to those places?
Yes.
Oh my, okay, so you did. So it wasn't just like, I'm going to pick up the telephone and call these people and like get their story. You actually visited in person.
Yes. Okay. I spent hours with these people. Hearing, just listening and talking and asking questions, and they opened up. It was a very humbling experience to hear their stories, and not only that, tell them, bring them to the world and show what we all have in common, and that food really brings us together in so many different contexts. I mean, these people, just like you, they're following their beliefs, their dreams, they want to make it happen. And I don't know how many people know this, but working in a restaurant and owning a restaurant is not easy.
I would agree.
It is so much work. And I think a lot of people don't see that. They think, oh, it'd be glamorous to own a restaurant and just hang out and talk with people. And it's so much more than that. And it's a labor of love. And that's one of the beautiful things about these stories that I told.
What is the etymology of that saying, a labor of love?
Do you know? I'm not sure.
Like I said, because as you say it, I want to dissect it and then apply it to like the how hard it is to run a restaurant.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, labor of love. So it's like you're so intensely laboring, but you love it, or what you love is like something that you just you're working so hard for, and it's. Is it like it's cloud? It's nebulous between loving it and being so laborious?
You know, I'm not sure. We should look it up.
I don't know. We should Google it.
We should Google it. The beauty of Google, right?
Yeah, right? We know everything just by fucking Googling. Okay. So where were you?
I don't remember, but I just think it was this beautiful experience. Oh yes. How we met Jen. I got in touch with Jen.
You'll always know.
That's where we were. So... after 6 years in Amsterdam, having published this book, then I was, you know, working on the marketing and promotion, doing some freelance. But after getting out of a long-term relationship and finishing this book, I thought about what's next. Do I want to stay in Amsterdam? Do I want to go elsewhere? What do I want to do? Do I want to work for myself? Do I want to go to a company? What am I thinking about?
Yep. So
that's why I got in touch with Jen. I was using my network and the people that I value to help me define this next adventure.
Correct. So, and then Jen put you in touch with me.
Yes.
Because I'm a hustler and a grinder out here in LA, right?
Yep.
And we also, like when we touched base, like because I think there was a phone call first.
Yes.
Right? And I remember I was on vacation. Then you were coming back from Switzerland, and you were in Michigan for a little while, I think.
Yeah, I was coming back from Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, sorry.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. And then I was back in Michigan for a little bit and visiting family. And
Yeah. And then it was like, I get so many I get calls from people that are like, hey, I want to move out to LA. And I'm like, part of me goes, I really want to convince this person to come.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, but I really want to tell them the beauty and the grit of like LA.
Yeah.
And, but the majority of people, come on, won't do it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's a yep. big move. It's a lot that, it's a huge undertaking.
Yep.
I have another buddy of mine who told me once, he goes, I really planned on moving to LA, but I stopped in Chicago. I just had a bigger friend base there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, what was that action energy? Like, I would like to take credit for convincing you, but it wasn't. So like, right. how, what was that action energy that got, what was that step that said LA is the place?
So I'm a firm believer in manifestation. And if you have a goal or a dream and you want it and you want it bad enough, you will make it happen.
Absolutely.
It may not be easy.
That's the key, right? That's the key to living, I think.
Yeah. But I truly believe if you want something, go out and make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so many people are talkers but don't pursue it. And that's okay. That's okay. They just maybe don't want it bad enough.
Is it okay? Well, is it okay? Or are you being nice?
No, I think that if you want it bad enough, you will change your situation.
Yeah,
and
okay.
If people don't change their situation, they're okay with that discontentment.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Like, good. That's. Like, I think that's right. Like, I always think, okay, you're going to fucking say this. And you're going to keep saying it. You're going to keep saying it. You're going to keep saying it. At that point, if you're closer to me, I will call you on your bullshit. Right?
Right,
like,
but
and I'll go,
at what point?
No, you're going to do it, damn it.
Well, you know what I mean? I like to inspire people to do that, and I know you do as well.
Yeah, right.
But I think it's giving people the tools to help them change their mindset and inspiring them through your own actions.
Wow.
So you have started your own business, and you are killing it out here in LA.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks.
You are. Thanks. I'm just going to tell it like it is.
Oh.
How did we get down this topic? I don't remember anymore.
Who cares? You're being amazing. You're being amazing. That's it.
Oh, about Jennifer. The dreams. Yep. So why LA? dreams.
Dreams. Just dreams. Talk about dreams.
I have a dream. So why LA? I'm a big proponent in making things happen.
Right.
So I had wanted to move overseas. I did that. I wanted to publish a book. I did that. I did not do this alone.
Okay.
I mean, I have an amazing support system. So when I was thinking about my next adventure, I thought, okay, do I want to go back to Amsterdam or go elsewhere? Why would I go back? Mm-hmm. I love it there. I have an amazing friend system. I've met so many beautiful people.
Why would you go back to Amsterdam?
Right.
Okay, so that was an option?
That was an option. I still have a business there. But I thought, okay, what do I love to do? What do I want? What would be my dream job? What would be the perfect place to live? And what do I need to be happy? So I thought about, okay, I like to bike. You know, Amsterdam, you can bike everywhere. You can bike from one side of the city to the other in 30 minutes. I thought, I love the sunshine. Okay, in Amsterdam, it rains all the time. Sorry. That's. I love being outdoors. I love to hike. I love the water. I love having culture nearby. I think I like going to museums, but I like having those options to dig into different cultures and foods and people. So that got me thinking, all right, California seems like it should be the next place, because I looked at Thailand, but I was looking for a long-term home.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Thailand would be great for a year or two. Australia was a little too far away from family.
Okay.
And then Africa and South America would be great to travel to, but I thought, you know, I'm still looking for that long-term.
Yep.
And that's how I landed on California. So then I invested all my time and efforts in looking for my dream job out here. And I said, I want to stay in publishing. I want to be able to travel and I want to make a difference. So one thing led to another and I ended up working for an academic publisher out here where I feel that I do have that ability.
Absolutely.
But that's how when I honed in on these, I don't want to say requirements, but I honed in on these values. These requirements.
Yeah. I like it, requirements. Yeah, right. Like, that's how I did it. I made a list, and I was like, Well, LA is kind of always where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
I saw Michigan State. So, like, there was a Michigan State quote the other day. I read on, like, their Twitter or something. And it was, home is not where you're from. It's where you belong.
Yes.
And I go, oh, my God, I fucking love that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, my mom was born and raised out here.
Yeah.
And then she moved back to Michigan. My dad was born in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm actually just the first person, like, in my family to be even born in Michigan.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't have many roots there. Like, I love Michigan, and I love the things that are going on in Detroit. Yep. And the longer I am away, it's funny, the more appreciation I have for, like, Lansing, where I grew up. And it's weird that, like, I go, I respect it, I love it. But, like, I feel like this is, like, the new home. Like, I love LA. Has it been feeling like that for you, or, like...
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes. When I flew out here for the interview, I work just north of LA in the Santa Monica Mountains, and I drove up there and I just felt it. I walked in the doors of that company and I just felt it.
Oof.
And you said, this is where I need to be.
Yeah,
and
right.
Every day I love going into work. I love what I do after work. I hike, believe I mentioned to you after this, I'm headed to stand up paddleboard yoga-ing. Yoga-ing? Stand up.
That's a thing.
Paddleboard yoga.
Where do you do that?
In Marina Del Rey.
Okay, got you.
It's called Yoke Aqua.
Yoke Aqua.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's this.
Yoqua. They should have just made it Yaqua.
Yeah.
Right.
Yoga Aqua.
Yeah.
So it's like yoga, aqua, yeah, all
I love
one word.
That.
They are fantastic women. And the thing is, I had never really done a lot of yoga before moving out here. I did Pilates and, you know, I work out. But as soon as I went stand-up paddleboarding and I saw this, I said, that's what I'm going to do. And the very next week, I was out there. And it's this mental and physical challenge that's unlike any other. Yes, it has the yoga component,
right.
But it's – I've really been pushing the mental limits. I'd never done a handstand before in my life. And
let alone on a paddleboard.
And within 4 sessions I was able to do a headstand
and
get my feet up, but that's thanks to these women helping me and inspiring me, and then my own mental strength and physical strength, and now I'm working on these new poses. So anyways, you asked me if I feel like home. Yes.
Yeah.
And when I love coming downtown or to Studio City or Hollywood.
Which is a far cry from, like, where you're at,
it's
right?
It's not that far.
I think it's far.
I don't think it's
in
that far.
LA traffic. I feel like it's fucking
Well,
hard.
Then you just don't go after work. Anyways.
Yeah, right. You know your time, you go, Jeremy. Damn it.
Right. Come on.
Yeah, right.
But
there's
no place. It's beautiful. And when I drive back through, when I cross over, you know, from Sherman Oaks or keep going and you hit the mountains coming past Calabasas, I just feel at home.
Oh.
And I'm 20 minutes from the beach. It's perfect. So, and I come into work every day and I have this running joke that I say, happy Monday, happy Tuesday, happy Wednesday.
You do say that stuff?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So this started as a joke. Well, okay. So it's not my boss, but her equivalent in my department. And his back was turned one day and I tried to scare him. So I was like, happy Tuesday. And I scared the crap out of him. So it turned into this running joke that every morning I would come in and be like, happy Wednesday, happy Thursday, happy Friday.
Right.
And then at one point I was like, you realize this is going to go on forever. So the woman that's next to him, his office, she goes, I want a happy Monday, happy Tuesday, happy Wednesday.
Hey, hey-o.
And then another one 2 doors down was like, where's my happy Monday, happy Tuesday? So now I come in but that's just me.
That's your thing.
So I just read this quote recently. When life gives you Mondays, dip it in glitter and sparkle all day. And that was something that I had felt for a long time, but
boom.
I never vocalized it. And I saw that quote. I was like, yep.
Yep.
That's
the fucking quote. Like, that should also be the takeaway of the day here. Like, that's unbelievable. Like, I love
that. Dip it in glitter and sparkle all day.
I love that, especially when it's applicable to Mondays. Because, like, so many people, and there are so many people out there that fucking hate Mondays. Like,
I don't
just
get
it.
I don't get it.
Like,
I love Mondays.
I don't intrinsically like Mondays, right? Like, I don't. Like, I used to hate Sundays. I used to hate them. like, especially when, like, Holly and I would be, like, just, like, wandering around, like, the zoo, because we have a zoo pass or whatever. And as I'm walking around, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, when we first got here and I, like, I had, like, a consulting gig. But I'm thinking, like, a regular job. And I go, oh, man, like, I've got all these emails and, like, I'm behind and everything. And I'm thinking, oh, I hate this. But then I started a company and I'm like, the more, like, leads that I would get and the more emails that I would send out, I hate the weekends. Because, like, every time, and Holly can attest to this, that every time I'm, like, at the zoo, I'm, well, I'm paying attention to her 100%, always.
Are you sure?
Yes. I like to think so. Or she, and she understands when I have to take an email or something.
But
so
that's, like, yeah.
And I go, these people aren't writing me back. So I wake up on Monday, like, 6 o'clock, 7, and I, just to check email, like, oh, I'm so excited. Like, these people, like, they're all writing me back. I think that, obviously, you love, like, what you're doing. You've got to love, I think, what you're doing and where you're at in order to feel that love for Mondays.
Yeah.
And this,
for any day. For any
for
day.
For any day, I guess.
For that matter.
You're right.
Yep.
You one-upped me. So, okay. No, so, like, I want to unpack. I want to go back a little bit to, this was one of the things that when we first met and we were getting to know each other, one thing that stuck out to me big time, because you mentioned your flight from Detroit to LA when you came to interview.
Yes.
Right? And you go, hey, Jeremy, I'm off the plane. I forget when it was, or, like, maybe it was after the trip even, because we were supposed to meet up when you got here, but I was busy or something.
You were busy and my schedule was tight.
Yeah, right.
And oh, it just didn't work out.
You were only here for, like, a day and a half or something.
I was here for less than 24 hours.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, okay. So tell me, like, and I love building relationships.
Yes.
And a lot of people just don't put themselves out there as much as, like, you or I may
right.
do, right? So I want you to go into this story just a little bit about how you met a new friend on the plane coming from Detroit to LA.
Yes.
Go.
Go. So I, like you said, I love talking to people. I love hearing their stories. And I was sitting on the plane flying out here for this interview, and, you know, I'm all excited. And this guy is sitting next to me. And so, of course, I start chatting with him. I chat with most people on the plane next to me. And I, you know, said, oh, what were you doing in Detroit? Are you from there? Were you visiting? And he said, oh, I was visiting. There was a wedding. And we chat. We seem to have a ton in common. And by the end of the flight, and he had a girlfriend and all that.
Sure.
It wasn't like that. It was just about building a connection.
Plutonic.
Yeah, completely platonic. And, you know, getting ready to deplane, and he said, oh, you know, I'm sending a note to my friend to see if they can come pick me up. And they weren't able to. So I said, okay, where are you headed? Thinking, what are the chances that this guy is headed in the same direction that I am?
Yeah.
And but trying to be nice.
Absolutely.
You know, you want to help people. And I like,
at that point, were you just like, I'm making conversation, I just want to, like, transition out of this conversation? Or are you thinking, I'm going to build this relationship?
Well, I just thought, I want to help someone.
Sure. Okay.
It's like, if I were in that situation and wanted to get home, I would want someone to help me.
Mm. Good take.
And not to do that selfishly, but to think, you know, I just like to help people.
Yeah.
So he said, oh, I'm headed to Sherman Oaks. I said, where is that? Because I had never really been out here.
Right.
Goes, oh, the 101 and the 405 interchange. I said, oh, I'm headed that way. Do you want a ride? And he goes, really? That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, I have to go pick up my rental car. And if you don't mind coming with me, I'll give you a ride.
Yeah, right.
So we go get the car. And as we're in the car driving, he goes, wait, are you a serial killer?
Yeah.
Are you going to kill me?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that didn't even cross my mind.
Sure.
I just thought, and maybe I'm naive. Maybe people think I'm crazy when I tell them I drove some random stranger home from the plane.
I love it, but yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as a single female,
think,
looking back, was it the smartest thing? Probably not. But I go with my gut. I go with my gut, and I like to help people, and it felt like the right thing to do.
Listen, if you're on a plane with someone for hours, right? For the flight's 5 hours or almost 5 hours. When you're on the plane with someone and you're talking with them, right? Like, and then you offer up the ride. I think you're at least like mitigating the risk, like de-risking it a little bit.
Yeah.
Given the fact that, like, this guy, I asked this guy for a ride. He wasn't inquiring or anything. It's
right.
Not like he bought a ticket. I'm telling you right this right now. if that guy bought a ticket next to you, knowing you would give him a ride, right, saying that all this other stuff, I'm thinking, yeah, this guy won then. Like, if he can guess that stuff. But, like, that's not the case.
But I truly believe people deep down, I mean, even from the surface, are genuinely good people. And genuine. I think that's the key word.
I bet on humanity every time.
So.
Like, I just go, yeah, people are way better than you give. Otherwise, people, like, I could kill you right now.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But, like, you're betting on the fact that, like, people are better than what they appear, like, either in the media or, like, when you're walking down the street, whatever it is. So, like, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I bet on people. So, how did it go? You got in the car.
We got in the car, and we drove through. We took the more scenic route because this was right in rush hour traffic, so taking the 405 would have been bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
And we went through, I think, Beverly Hills and up that way.
Like
I'm not really
sure. Canyon, like Beverly Glen or something?
I think so.
Okay.
This, again, was my first time out here,
yeah,
really.
Right.
So I had been out to L.A. before. My uncle lived out here for, I think, 38 years in Dana Point. So I'd only been south, like to Orange County and then doing the touristy things, you know, Universal Studios or the Santa Monica
Love
Pier.
The touristy things, by the way.
Which are great, but I had never really done much driving, and especially north of L.A.
Okay.
So we drove, and I dropped him off at his house. We actually got dinner together.
See, that's what I wanted you to go into. Like, he goes, you want to grab dinner? Right? Like, it's like plusing that, like, going into, like, building that relationship.
Yeah. And we got Korean barbecue, and I had never had Korean – well, I had in Amsterdam, but I know it's a big thing out here. And
yeah, it is.
He bought me dinner, and we just had a really nice time chatting and talking about his life and his work and his relationship and my life and background. And I dropped him off at home, and we've kept in touch here and there. It'd probably be good to rekindle that, but I think this was just, I like hearing stories and I like meeting people.
I think there's a beautiful lesson there, right? So, like, how much of, like, meeting people, like, I remember one of the first things you told me was, like, hey, I used to work for the USA Today, mm-hmm. right? And in that, you held, like, Twitter
my Twitter chats.
Right, Twitter chats.
So, can I interrupt you?
Go.
So,
interrupt the fuck out of me. You're right.
So, okay. So, these Twitter chats, I got involved in 2011 when I was working for my company, my past company in Amsterdam. But I got especially involved when I was writing for USA Today because I was writing about Amsterdam and I was the Amsterdam local expert for 10 Best, but I wanted to become that on social media as well.
Okay.
And a good friend of mine, so through one of the Twitter chats, TTOT, Travel Talk on Twitter, I met Savannah, who is also an author, and she wrote 2 books and is on her third. She traveled the world for 4 years with her family from the age of 14 to 18 and did 80 countries in 4 years.
Wow.
She lived just north of Amsterdam, and we realized this, and we decided to meet up in person after having talked on Twitter through these Twitter chats. Well, through her, she is my best friend. She's amazing. Through her, I was introduced to TRLT, The Road Less Traveled, which is a Twitter chat she founded with 2 others. And I became a host of this chat. And then a month later, I became a host for another Twitter chat called Culture Trav. And the beauty of these chats is each week you have a different topic. Within that topic, you have 5 or 7 questions. And then people come together from all over the world to discuss travel-related themes and topics and questions.
Sure.
And you're sharing pictures and stories. And you are building a relationship online. Well, I've had the immense privilege and pleasure to meet a lot of these people in person. Because when they came to Amsterdam, we would meet up. And even out in L.A., I've met up with many of them, and they are real life friends.
Sure.
Because you're coming together around these common interests and these common beliefs and these common values. And it's absolutely inspiring to see them they share similar mentalities to you and I about yep. going out there and pursuing what you love and making time for what you love, which in a lot of our cases is travel and new experiences.
Right. You so, bond over that one.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay. So like from that, like how do you use or how do people use technology as a gateway to kind of meet in person? Because that seems like kind of what you did yeah. there.
It's absolutely what I did. Yeah. I think that it's finding that those common interests. So yeah. whether that's following a hashtag or
tactical, I like it.
So a yeah. lot of if you search on Twitter for travel, I mean, there's thousands of people that travel. And so one great way to hone in on those meaningful relationships is Twitter chats. And that's done through a hashtag. Following different bloggers.
How do you start a Twitter chat? I literally have like 60 followers on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter at all. And I go, sometimes I feel like I'm an outsider because I'm not on Twitter. But it's such a vehicle that you can take advantage of and meet yep. people like you. Well, if you're not me and you have you in yep. your backyard.
Yep.
If you're like other people from across the world that want to meet you, it's like favorite, retweet,
yep.
DM.
Yep.
Like you can engage with that person and there's a likely chance that you'll write them back.
Yep. Yep.
So like,
you have to, but the key to it is being authentic. Mm-hmm. If you're just saying, oh, please follow me or thanks for the follow or like, and read this, it's about being genuine and authentic and saying, hey, I came across this photo or I came across this blog or this article that I thought you would appreciate. But isn't that the essence of life? Being thoughtful and compassionate and being authentic.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter if it's online or in person. In order to build a deeper relationship, you need to have those core values.
I believe it.
So.
I love it. I love that.Ine. Like, I think
you're like, done.
Yeah.
We're done here.
you're beautiful. Like, this is amazing. Your story's great. Do you want to leave them with anything else? Or have you said your piece and you're done with Not Boring Nation? Follow you on your Twitter chat. Right?
Yes.
Do you still do them?
I still host TRLT. Okay. I just with my work out here and I wasn't able to host both of
girl.
Them still.
All right.
But I still love both TRLT and Culture Trav. Please join both of them. And just at the end of the day, remember that you're awesome and follow your dreams.
I love it.
Thank you, Jeremy, for having me on here because you are an inspiration to people. And just by doing this podcast, you inspire others to Aww. Be passionate about life. So keep doing you and keep being awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. You hear that? Like, if she's telling me this, like, I'm inclined to believe it.
So. You should believe it.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.